Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Asia Pacific stocks are trading higher this morning, with Japan leading the way up by 1.09%, Korea is up 0.87%, and Australia is up 0.85%. Now, overnight on Wall Street, stocks saw broad gains after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell confirmed that the central bank will slow the pace of its aggressive rate hiking campaign that has weighed on markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 2.18% to 34,589 points. Now, meanwhile, the tech-heavy Nasdaq Composite jumped 4.41% to end off the night at 11,468 points. And the S&P 500 added 3.09% to end the session at 4,080 points. So right now, let's bring in Ryan Huang to tell us all about it. Good morning, Ryan. How are you doing this Thursday morning?
Doing great, Dan. How about you?
Not too bad. Happy December, Ryan. So let's get right into this interview. Now, as mentioned earlier, the S&P 500 saw an end to its three-day losing streak after Powell said it made sense to moderate the pace of their rate increases as they approach the level of restraint that will be sufficient to bring inflation down. So can you walk us through the details and what were some of the key points coming out of Powell's latest remarks?
Yeah, it was quite an encouraging commentary coming out from Jerome Powell, because in the lead up to his speech, we had a lot of Fed officials coming up to pretty much beat the drum with a hawkish beat, and we were looking out for higher rates for possibly longer, and that was what markets were bracing for when they didn't get it. So Jerome Powell gave them a bit of a reprieve, and that is why I think one of the reasons we saw markets just enjoying that bounce overnight on Wall Street and now in the Asian trading hours. So that is the main takeaway. And if you look at what Jerome Powell is indicating, the December rate meeting that's going to be happening in the middle of the month, that is likely to be at 50 basis points. After seeing 75 basis points for four straight meetings, we could finally be seeing it being dialed back. So that's a sign that things could be moderating from here on in terms of that aggressive rate hike campaign that the Fed has been on, and a sign that maybe those rate hikes may be starting to work its way through the system. And that terminal rate that everyone's been talking about, that is now being dialed back in terms of expectations as well. Before he spoke, it was above 5%, and that was when it would be reached around June. Now it's below 5%.
And yes, that's right. We are starting to see the signs of this interest rate weighing in on the markets as well. I mean, earlier this month, the CPI indicated that inflation was rising, but that was less than what economists had expected. And several reports also showed that private payroll growth was far lower than expected in November, while job openings also declined. Now, this raises a question, though. Do you think that the market's movements overnight were premature? I mean, Powell did mention that short-term data can be deceptive and he needs to see more consistent data. And let's not forget, he also expects the ultimate peak for rates, the terminal rate, to be somewhat higher than we thought.
Yeah, it is going to be higher than previously thought. So there are some expectations that need to be calibrated. But I think markets have been so battered by so much gloom and doom and bad news that anything that had a silver lining or a bright spot, they would just jump on it. And I think that's one reason why markets are seeing green right now. And looking at what's going to be coming in the next few days, we have the non-farm payrolls data. We have more inflation data to come. So all that will feed into the next Fed meeting. So a lot can still change. And he has reiterated this many times. It's all down to the data. So some of the data is backward looking. So you have to also discount some of the things like GDP data for the third quarter. Even though it's higher, it is something that's backward looking. You have to look into what's coming up. And there are a lot of moving parts to factor in as well, which is what's playing out with the Ukraine war and also the Chinese side of things. Are we going to be seeing a reopening soon? On that front, there seems to be some encouraging signs, but it is still not very clear how that will play out. We did get some commentary, or at least some reports, that the officials are starting to soften their stance around COVID zero. So that's encouraging, and also another reason why markets are seeing some reprieve so far.
Right, and then it's definitely a good start to December, and Christmas may be coming in early for the markets. I mean, how do you think the global markets and central banks around the world would react to this?
Okay, so it's a tough one, because it's always a balancing act, right? So you have to deal with inflation. You also have to deal with a stronger US dollar. By some extent, you are seeing the strength of the US dollar moderating. So in the past month, it's down 5% on the dollar index, and that is after rising quite a bit this year. So this is something they can also take into account, that they might not need to be as aggressive in terms of hiking their own rates. So that's going to be something that will be something that their own policymakers will be digesting on top of their own data. So that's what we can look out for. Maybe interest rate expectations may also be dialed back for other countries as well.
Okay. And of course, finally, on this topic as well, what does this mean for us as consumers?
For consumers, it's going to be something that we will have to deal with. High inflation is likely to be sticky in terms of those higher cost pressures. That is coming through from many fronts. You have the supply side of things. Disruptions on the supply chain have still not cleared. So that's going to add to the pressures there. And you have wage increases also part of the equation. So you've got so many things just driving up prices. Inflation is likely to remain elevated, even though we talk about rate hikes being dialed back. Prices are not going to come down fast or as fast as we hope. It will still be elevated for quite some time before we see any reprieve on that front. And I guess for Singaporeans, we also have the GST rate hike coming next month to also account for. So some last-minute shopping this month could be due.
Are you doing any shopping, Ryan?
I am working out my shopping list.
All right. Okay. All right. Now, Ryan, let's talk about Elon Musk and Apple. I mean, they can't seem to stop, you know, making headlines these days. And just yesterday, Musk met up with Apple's CEO Tim Cook at the iPhone maker's headquarters. And he even tweeted a video of a pond at the Apple Park headquarters and said, quote unquote, "Thanks at Tim Cook for taking me around Apple's beautiful HQ." Now, this is quite strange. I mean, because earlier this week, Musk criticized Apple after the iPhone maker reduced its advertising spending on Twitter. So what can you tell us about the meeting between the two?
Yeah, that shows how much good PR can really pay off. So after bashing Apple's Tim Cook for so long, he finally had a face-to-face meeting with him and changed his tune.
Right.
So they met up, like you pointed out, had a bit of a walk through the Apple Park headquarters. I'm sure there was a lot of heart-to-heart conversations. And at the end of it, he became a fan of Apple. So it's quite a big change from criticizing Apple for what they do in terms of advertising on Twitter to saying, hey, Apple's okay.
Right.
So I think we could be seeing Elon Musk starting to hold back from criticizing Apple to some extent. And you have to also, I guess, remember he was criticizing Apple for threatening to take away Twitter from the App Store, apparently. According to Tim Cook, Apple never considered that. So maybe it was just a case of miscommunication or speculation. So that's cleared up. And maybe both sides can start to mend the fences right now.
Right, and that's certainly a good start of a relationship between the two, because as what you've mentioned, they've had a good conversation and resolved the misunderstanding about Twitter potentially being removed. Now, speaking of Apple, the company has been coming under fire in the tech world as many are also speaking out against their App Store practices. And we've got Spotify escalating its public battle with iPhone maker by posting a tweet which reads, "As countless entrepreneurs have highlighted, Apple is shameless in their bullying, including their efforts to help authors sell more audiobooks." Even CEO of Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, has stepped up to say that Apple's App Store policies are not sustainable or a good place to be. What are your thoughts on this, Ryan?
Yeah, when you talk about policies that have been under fire, we have to drill it down to that 30% cut that app makers have to pay Apple when someone buys any service through the app. So this is the crux of what's happening here. Spotify is not happy that they have to pay that commission. So this is something that Apple is trying to put pressure on Spotify and other app makers as well. So Spotify has been trying to make its way to diversify into audiobooks. So they've been trying to get their audiobook app approved on the Apple Store. Apple has been rejecting it because of what they see as Spotify using it as a workaround in some cases to not pay them that commission. So this is the center of that dispute right now. So Spotify and many other developers have been trying to put pressure on Apple to dial back on that commission in what they call bullying. So this is going to be something that will play out in time to come. It's going to be a long, drag-out saga.
Do you think that they might, you know, find a separate alternative as well to perhaps just promote their stuff and shift away from Apple?
Yeah, that is the tough one, right? If you don't like it, you can just leave. But that is very hard for many app makers who rely on people who use the iPhone.
Mm.
So it's such a huge, critical mass of users. If you don't appear on the App Store, on the Apple Play Store, this is going to be missing out on many opportunities for revenue. So this is not something they can take lightly in terms of corporate decisions. They will likely have to meet with some compromises.
Right.
So they will need to make their own decisions on what they prioritize. Do they want to make less money or no money?
Mm-hmm, right, that's true. And yes, this is something we'll be watching very closely to, the build-up of the tech giants against Apple. So back at home, Ryan, we are currently 16 minutes into the local trading day, and yesterday, the Straits Times Index, optimism was rising across the local markets. It closed higher by 0.43% to end off at 3,290 points. Ryan, how is the SEI performing today?
All right, let's take a look at where we are for the Straits Times Index. And overnight, we had green on the screen for Wall Street after the twin factors of the Fed backing off on being aggressive on its rate hikes, as well as China softening its stance around COVID-19. So that's seen Wall Street up, as well as many regional markets in the green. And same for the STI, the Straits Times Index is higher by 0.5% at 3,305. Hmm. Only three counters are in the red, and they are Yangzhijiang Shipbuilding down 0.7% at $1.42. Jardine Saka and Carriage down 0.5%. DBS just slightly underwater by 0.2% at $35.13.
Hmm.
At the top, we have Jardine Matheson Holdings up 3.5%. Hong Kong Land up nearly 3%. And Sembcorp higher by 2.5%. So Jardine and Hong Kong Land possibly being lifted by the feel-good factor around anything to do with Chinese and Hong Kong exposure right now.
All right. Thank you for that, Ryan. Now we're going to play a game of up or down. And if you're a regular on the show, you would be familiar with this game. I will pick a stock or a topic and you guess whether it's an up or a down. Ryan, are you ready?
Let's go, Dan.
Let's go with the first one. City Developments Limited.
Okay, I am going with down. Mm. So this is after CDL posted its third quarter results. It did pull in $281 million in sales, but it was slower than the previous year. So this saw them sell 95 units for a total of $281 million. Mm. So that is due to low inventory being available. And this, for the first 9 months, saw CDL and its joint venture associates sell 802 units compared with 1,382 units in the same period a year ago. So we are seeing a bit of a slowdown in that quarter. But the good news is in the fourth quarter, things are starting to pick up. So, so far, that is seeing CDL report 1,417 units worth $2.8 billion as of the end of November.
Mm.
And that's because we had a launch in October for its joint venture project, Copenhagen Grand Executive Condominium. So that may be something that could turn around the numbers for CDL.
Right, I'm going to go with a down for CDL as well. I mean, the rising interest rates, inflationary concerns, and Singapore's property cooling measures may cause some buyers to be more cautious in their decision-making. So that's something to watch out for. Next on the list, Digital Core REIT.
I'm going up because it is making some headway in Europe. Mm. It's acquiring a 25% stake in an asset in Frankfurt, Germany. So this is a freehold data center.
Right. And that's going to be an up for me as well for Digital Core REIT. Now next, Vertex Technology Acquisitions Corp.
I'll go with down, slightly down, because Morgan Stanley has sold some of its shares in Vertex Technology Acquisition Corporation. This saw it disposing over 600,000 shares. So it's no longer considered a substantial shareholder of the SPAC. It is still a shareholder, now with just 4.6%, down from over 6%.
Yes, and that's going to be down for me as well. And they stated that because of an aggregation of global position, they are exercising the right to dispose of the shares. And next on the list, we have Sina Mars Land.
Okay, I am going with, up with Sina Mars Land to build a mixed-use development in Indonesia. So they are doing this with a joint venture company of Mitsubishi and Sabana Jurong.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be one of the largest mixed-use developments in Greater Jakarta.
Right. And finally, last on the list, Singapore's market cap.
I am going with up. So we are looking at the market cap for Singapore higher by 5% in November. And this is amidst a brighter economic outlook in Asia. So people are pricing that in, and that is seeing Singapore stocks benefit. So total market cap of the 642 stocks listed on the SGX gained 5% to over $830 billion as of the end of November.
All right, wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Ryan. Before I let you go, the new year is looming large. Any new year resolution plans?
Oh, I am starting to think about it, and I think I will put something related to fitness.
Ah, fitness.
So what have you got then lined up for next year?
Me, I'm thinking of actually learning to cook more. I'm quite into fitness, you see, so I think it would be good for me to meal prep, you know, as
it. I guess that also goes some way towards helping with the rising cost of living and expenses.
Always find a way to link it back to inflation. Thank you so much, Ryan, for this morning.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.